Well, good evening, Vine Street Christian Church, Lenten pilgrims. It's a Sabbath day. It's the fifth Sunday of Lent. We're 2 weeks from Easter, 1 week from Palm Sunday, and we are worshiping today. I am in the church right now, and we're going to begin this little Sunday Sabbath service the way we always begin our Sunday services, with the ringing of the bell. I hope you can hear it. There it is. Amen. That's your church, people. That's our bell. Well, what a great way to start our service. Just as people all around the world today are thinking about COVID-19 and the fears from that, they are still ringing that bell to signify who they really trust, who they give their fear to, and what they put their faith in. And that's the one Almighty Creator God. Amen. And now I move from the back of the church to the front of the church. And sitting here behind the pulpit, just soaking in the Spirit, I want to begin tonight with a prayer by Walter Brueggemann, who is an amazing Old Testament scholar and writer and amazing preacher. But this is a prayer he wrote about the threats around us. Let's come into a posture of prayer. There is a long list of threats around us: terror, cancer, falling markets, killing, others unlike us in all their variety, loneliness, shame, and death. The list goes on, and we know it well. And in the midst of threats of every kind, God, you appear among us in your full power, in your deep fidelity, in your amazing compassion. You speak among us the one word that could matter: do not fear. Do not fear. And we, in our several fearfulnesses, are jarred by your utterance. On a good day, we know that your sovereign word is true. So God, give us good days by your rule, free enough to rejoice, open enough to change, trusting enough to move out of new obedience, and grace enough to be forgiven and then to forgive. Great God, we live by your word. Speak it to us through the night, that we may have many good days through your gift. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now, let us together, with one voice lifted to God, recite the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now I want to offer some wonderful music to you. We're going to have two song selections today that Jeff Boyer has offered to us. And we're going to begin with his solo effort, just to get our hearts in the right place. And this wonderful hymn that you'll all know is called It Is Well With My Soul.
Peace. like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. May God haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumps shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
That is so beautiful. I hope you heard the birds helping Jeff bring that home towards the end of the song. He recorded that outside during sunset on his patio, and certainly I think the creatures that were out there got a special, special blessing. Thank you, Jeff. And we'll be hearing from Jeff again at the end. I want to move now to just a short homily, a little message for you. This is a message that was inspired by a little devotion written by Jerry Sumney, who's a professor at Lexington Theological Seminary. And it caught my attention, and I thought I'd share some of it with you. It's a message about the prophet Ezekiel. And haven't we been talking a lot about prophets lately? Isn't this a prophetic time? We need to hear those words of the prophets about who God is and what God can do for us. But you probably were sitting around this morning having your cup of coffee, saying to your family, gee, I noticed Pastor Bob's talking a lot about prophets lately. I'm sure that came up in discussion. Well, I'm going to do it again, because that's kind of how God works in my life. I don't know if you know the prophet Ezekiel or know much about him. You may have heard about the exile to Babylon of the Israelites. That happened in the 6th century B.C., when all of the leaders of the Jewish religion were gathered together from their homeland, from Jerusalem, from the temple, from where God was, and they were taken away to Babylon into exile. All the leaders, religious, academic, social, governmental, trying to drain the Jewish community of its power base, of its source of truth and inspiration. And Ezekiel was one of the prophets who was sent to Babylon with all of those people. And it was a kick in the gut, really, for those people in many ways, but probably in the most important way. Because for them, Jerusalem had been the home of their religion. Palestine was the land that God chose to reside in. They were there in that place because that's where God was. They went to their temple to worship God and to hear his voice and to speak to him. They lived in Palestine, in Jerusalem, because they wanted to live in the land that God had given to Abraham. It was all about the land. Where God was at the land that God had given to them. So when all their leadership went into exile to Babylon, it seemed like all that was over. The sacred trust that those people had been given from their ancestors was now taken away. And the greatest fear of all, that each one of us knows at some point in our life, and maybe even now, that God was no longer with them, that God was absent from them as they now were in a foreign land, Babylon, and their God had been left behind, if he was even still there. Maybe you've heard a few verses from Psalm 137 about this. It's a great psalm to read maybe later tonight after you've heard this, but Psalm 137 is a lament over the destruction of Jerusalem during this time. It's about this story. It's about Ezekiel's heartache. And verses 1 through 4 go like this. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our harps, for there our captors ask us for songs, and our tormentors ask for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Well, that's the state of mind and state of heart that the exiles were in, and Ezekiel being with them. But that wasn't the end of the story. Ezekiel ends up having an amazing vision sent from God. He sees these giant beings with wings and calves feet, and they have all different kinds of faces. They have a human face, a lion face, an ox face, and an eagle face. It just so happens those are the same faces that would be later applied to the four writers of the Gospels. A human face, a lion face, an ox face, and an eagle face. And they're zooming around all over, and they're on these kind of wheeled vehicles, and they're carrying things. It's a weird imagery, Dr. Sumney says. It's kind of like Ezekiel would say today, look, I saw a spaceship last night, and I want to tell you about it. But the truth is that imagery had to be so strange, so weird, and so unbelievable because it carried a message that no one except Ezekiel could have even imagined. What was the message that was carried in that vision? That God wasn't confined to one place. That what was rolling in on those winged creatures with all those faces was God himself riding in to Babylon to be with his people so that they would know that God never leaves them. That anywhere they might go in this world, their God was with them. That God wasn't confined to one place, one city, one land, but God was a God of the entire world. And anybody in that world, any place they might be, could become part of God's people, could come into the presence of God, could take their hurt and their fear and their loneliness, their concerns to God himself, right where they were. And so that message for us today is a great message of inspiration and hope. We weren't in church today. We didn't come into the sanctuary. We didn't do our usual order of service and worship service. We did something much modified, church to go, which, even though it was appreciated by so many, wasn't anything like our regular worship service. But you know what? God was there. God was there when we set up in the morning, when we filled the little wooden chalices from Bethlehem with the communion cup and with the cracker, when we met our church members as they drove up or a few who walked up. We said blessings with them and we shared a Bible reading list with them And we gave them hearts made by our kids to put on their windows and doors. There's God. Oh, God was there. Be sure of that. We saw the smiles. We saw the joy of just for even for a couple minutes being able to see each other and gather with each other. We couldn't touch each other, but we were touching each other. We were doing it by our hearts. And you know how that happens? That happens because God is present. So as now we look ahead to maybe being in this situation till the end of April, let us look to God, because God is the most powerful force in our lives, and he's right there with us, ready to help us, to lift us, to dry our tears, to lift our spirits, and to bring us more and more, even in these days, towards the disciple he's creating us to be. Let us make a commitment, just as the Israelites sitting by the rivers of Babylon made, that we would no longer be without our God, that anywhere we went, God would be with us and we would be God's people. And because of that, we'll be stronger each and every day. Amen. Now we want to take just a minute or so to prepare our hearts for the virtual Lord's Supper today. I want you to just sit in silence for just a few seconds here. Slowing down, quieting down, giving God more of your space, more of your heart, more of your mind, making room for the presence of our Lord before we come to his table. And to put us in that spirit, I want to offer you a special song today. Willie Nelson will be singing this song. It's one of my favorites, called Bridge Over Troubled Water. We play this song now in preparation for communion because Jesus is that bridge. He's the one who stuck out his arms on that cross and had them nailed into a position that we could all walk across from our trouble to our peace, from our fears to our glory. So as we listen to this song by Willie Nelson, let us prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.
When you're weary and feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side when times get rough and friends just can't when darkness comes and pain is all around like a bridge. sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine. If you need a friend, I'm sailing right behind, like a bridge over troubled water. I will ease your mind, like a bridge over troubled water. I will ease your mind. I will ease your mind.
Wow, special thanks to the little angel this morning who put that seed in my heart about that song. So, let's gather together. Let's put our hearts out there as one. One heart, one congregation, one love, one spirit, and let's come to the seat at the table. Jesus is already there. The meal's already been prepared. Everything we need has already been done for us. And here's what he says. He lifts that bread from the table and he looks at us, each one of us, because he wants each one of us to hear this, to hear the truth in this, and to never forget it. He prays over that bread and he tells us, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you." And he asks us to do one thing. Whenever we eat that bread, to think of him, to remember him, to eat it in remembrance of him. So let us pass the bread. And as we finish, Jesus then takes the chalice from the table. He shows it to each and every one of us as he looks us in the eye. Because this is meant for each and every one of us. No one left behind. He prays over that chalice as he lifts it to his Father in heaven. And then he tells us that this cup is the new covenant that he makes in his blood. You see, he says that chalice has his blood, which was shed for us, each and every one of us, for our forgiveness. He offers us the cup and he just asks one thing of us. Whenever we drink of the cup, remember him, think of him, drink that cup in honor of him. For he tells us, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. And now let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that no building can house you fully, and no place of worship can contain your majesty. Teach us by our deeds of peace and justice and joyful celebration, teach us to erect altars in this world, so that when some other soul comes across them, they will see that you are indeed present everywhere. Amen. And now, before we bring this Sunday Sabbath service to an end, I've promised one more song. This is Jeff Boyer and the quartet of the Coles County Choir singing a song called "Mary, Did You Know?" I don't know if you speak to the angels that are in your lives, if you have a relationship with them and if they talk to you and if you talk back, but I think it's important. I think if Mary didn't believe in angels and talk to them and have a conversation and trust them, that Jesus might not have been born. I think if Mary thought that was just a fantasy and something that only crazy people believed in, then Jesus might never have walked on this earth. I think that angels are the living presence of God's Spirit through all the people that we've known in our lives and will come to know for eternity. They're an eternal presence who sends us blessings in truth. And I wonder what Mary did know. Here's a song, Jeff Boyer and the Coles County Quartet. I'm so glad we can bring that song out, even though it's not Christmas time, and use it for an Easter inspiration. Now let us hear this closing benediction, and then I'll ring the bell one more time. Hear these words. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. And may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.